they murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. So before we start talking about the games, guys, we have been trying to figure out this Apple Podcast issue, and the latest thing we have figured out is if you go to Apple Podcast on the web, it will play our show. If you go into the app, whether it be on a MacBook like me or on your iPhone, it will not. So it is not an issue with us. I swear to you, it's not us. Apple is having an issue with that podcast app. So we, again, are kind of stuck. We don't really, there's nothing we can really do unless Apple upgrades their podcast app. But like I said, we are available on many other platforms, Google Podcast, Overcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those places. And that's where you can listen to us, or you can just listen to us on the website. If you guys are interested, I can post this straight to Facebook or YouTube as well. If that's something that some of you out there would like, then I have no problem posting it there either. So we can definitely make that happen. So if that's something you're into, cool, we can do it. But anyway, let's get into this. Let's start talking about this game, Monday Night Football. Josh and I were at the wrong stadium. We were at M&T Bank in Baltimore. We were checking out the game.
Still, the end result was the same.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of, let's kick off on that. What was your take on the – because I've never done a watch party. I think this is, in my recollection, the first time the Ravens actually hosted a watch party. I can't think of any time other than that they'd done one, whether it was playoffs or not. Everybody out there, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon included, but what was your take on the experience being there? I know we got to watch the game together with amongst friends and all that, and it was a great time on myself, and I want to share my opinion, but I really want to hear – what was your take on the experience?
The atmosphere was really nice. It was good to be at the stadium again. I'd gone there for the open practice, but I gotta tell you, now again, I love my Ravens. Anytime we get to participate in something like this, I'm all for it. Especially after last year missing everything, I was a little underwhelmed. To be perfectly honest, I was a little underwhelmed when you got in there. The whole stadium wasn't open. It was just like maybe 10 sections. The screen was not formatted correctly because they would show graphics and stuff and everybody's heads were cut off. So you missed a little bit of the game. They did have there was no Poe. Poe wasn't there. There was nobody taking like professional photos like for the practice. So yes, it was awesome to be outside in the stadium, and the good stuff, the drone show and the fireworks was awesome. I absolutely loved that. But overall, I was like, yeah, this was a lot of fun to kick off the season, but would I go back and do it again? Yeah, probably not.
Okay, so the start at the end right there with you. Would I go again? Probably not, but it was a good time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the atmosphere again, and maybe they did open up the whole stadium, obviously, because of maybe how many tickets were sold. Sure. It was a ticketed event. I think it was like $20 to enter. It was free parking, so that helped. But the whole visitor sideline was pretty much full. It was full, like, end to end. So right. A couple people were texting me, asking me, like, how packed is that? I took a picture, like, pretty much almost like end zone to end zone, obviously. And I feel like, obviously, they couldn't I would be hard-pressed to sell 70,000 tickets for a watch party, but, yeah, that would be insane. But,
especially on a Monday night. They're not home. Right. People got kids.
And there was a lot of
kids, I get
there.
It.
There was kids there. There was a lot of people there to, you know, you probably really wouldn't see dorm normally for a game, which is pretty much on Sunday. But besides the point, I, too – was a blown away by the drone, the quarterback throwing the football and then the receiver catching it. I don't know how they do that stuff, but that was wild. It was some of the formations with the drones were like, you know, they were formations like they did the Raven bird, which was phenomenal, like almost covered the whole stadium or the corner of the stadium. And they did the front facing Raven bird. They did the word Ravens. you know, did other formations, but then they also did like formations that were like live. So they literally had a quarterback throwing the football, and the football was drones, and it was phenomenal. So how they do that is incredible. And then the fireworks were great. Yeah. And of course I was a little disappointed. It could have been, again, formatting with, you know, with the concert was entertaining. I mean, I didn't know nothing about the band, never even heard of them. I hate to say this being a hometown guy, but never even knew they were of them, or they were from here, Towson or something. So, I mean, great. It's great to have hometown flavor, but it was still entertained. I sat right. We got right there front, right near the stage. And, you know, I was, you know, it was entertaining. I'm not going to say they sucked or not, because I mean, they did, they were good. It was good to kick off with a nice concert. So for all those who attended, you know, for $20, got a nice concert for like a half hour, 40 minutes. It was great.
Yeah.
And when they did that, they showed the band on the whole length of the vision screens, but then the game was only shown on like a portion of it, like maybe like a third or half the size. I was a little disappointed. I told you that right in the onset. I'm like, so again, it could have been formatting. I wasn't going to take the social media, the voicemail displeasure, because again, it could have been formatting the way that the game is streamed and they can only show it on a certain portion, but I was a little disappointed that it wasn't the full length. I'm like, and to me, and from a tech guy, I'm not in a tech background, but to me, it's like, maybe they had a different feed if live in the stadium, if they can broadcast the band live on the vision boards, it was full screen, and then maybe streaming the game, they didn't get that option. I don't know why. I would love to know why they couldn't do that. So I was a little disappointed, but hey, it was the biggest screen you could probably watch it on anywhere. So it still was cool. And it was cool to, you know, mix it up with other Ravens fans, you know, get to celebrate. But other than that, oh boy, the up and downs of this game. What is it with the Ravens' last two Monday Night Football throwers? I know they're 1-1 in them, but like the Browns game with that theatrics, and then this, they might as well just keep playing Monday Night Football. They play the Colts in a month. I can't wait to see if they can go for a trifecta, and I don't want to go through another game like that, but you almost got to think. They're in the last two seasons, two in a row, Monday Night Football, they've had pretty much the game of the year already after week one. I mean, I don't know how you could top that theatrics. That was insane, dude.
It was insane. It was a nail biter, and hysterically enough, you and I actually we didn't get to say goodbye on Monday because the that overtime touchdown happened, and we just got up and left.
I know, I saw you bolted.
Yeah, and I was just like, well, I thought you were right behind me. So no. My girlfriend was
I was right behind you, and then someone said, "He's short, wait," and then I'm looking and I'm like, "What?" And then of course I'm watching the replay and just standing there in the aisle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Okay. Wait a minute. So did you actually get to listen to him on the way home? What happened to you? Like, don't tell me you didn't hear it all." Cause I'm
no,
like,
no. We listened. Awesome. We listened on the way home. My girlfriend was out in the concourse and I was like, "Josh, I was right behind me. I don't know where he went." And then I'm like, "Well, I'll text him and just, you know, figure out when we're going to record or whatever." And we get out to the car and then I hear them talk about Derek Carr still being on the field. And I was like, "Wait a minute. Did that touchdown come back? Is the game not over?"
You were so mad and disappointed, you just bolted.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of interesting. So we got in the car and we got to listen to Jerry Sandusky and got to hear the end of the game. But yeah, it was crazy because like I literally thought you were right behind me, and I was like, "All right, well, I guess we'll just talk later." And then we're out in the car, and I'm like, "Oh, game's not over! Holy cow! I missed
no
that."
No wonder I didn't see him. And it was crazy because like you've seen like people bolt for the exits, and then literally, what guy was like, everybody's pointing at the screen. I'm like, because they showed the replay and they're like, "He's short, wait, time." And then they're all like standing around, like I was halfway up the stairs. So then obviously when he was ruled short, you know, taking us through that sequence, you know, he's ruled short. Then they get back on the field, just the sequence, replaying it. They stuff Josh Jacobs because you figure I'm like, at this point, I'm like halfway up the stairs already because I'm thinking like, I'm waiting for it to matter time for they score. They're on the 1 yard line,
right?
First and goal. They're going to get in. I'm like, you're just delaying the inevitable. So they stuff Josh Jacobs on the first run. And I'm like, okay. Then the inevitable happens. False start. They move back and you're like, holy crap. Now it's second down and goal with like 6 yards to go. And then the very next play, tipped interception. Oh, the football gods have spoken. The Ravens have it. And you're like, holy crap. And of course the people that were left, we're all going nuts, like besides ourselves. We basically went from emotion of just lost the game to, "Oh no, we didn't." And then now we just, and then you're like, "Okay, well, they're going to score." And then we get the interception. So it was like so inevitable. So I'm like, "All right, go down the field, get 50 yards. Let's kick this thing 40, 50 yarder and let's go home. Like, let's take the W in freight fashion." Then It happened again. Turnover number two. Lamar fumbles the ball due to pressure. And we'll talk about unpack it all, breaking down this game. And then, of course, that sets up a wild finish, because then what happens? Jack Gruden runs run play for this team. Then he's like, we're not screwing around with this. He runs the field goal team on the field to kick in the second down just to end it. But what happens? They were so hasty in their decision, the play clock runs out and it's a delay of game. So it moves them back 5 yards. So now Jack Gruden trots his offensive unit back on the field, goes, no, now we're going to try to get more yardage again, what we lost. I don't know what the Ravens were thinking, and maybe they got lost in all this mess, because the very next play, they leave a receiver wide open. Their car just lost it up, and it's a long touchdown, game over. And you're like, so the emotions of that last sequence were incredible. But all in all, again, from a football standpoint, another great game in Ravens folklore. Like, you could put that up there with the Monday Night Thriller in Cleveland last year. You could put that up there with the Baja Miracle. I know those two were wins, and this is a loss. But just from a football game standpoint, you couldn't end week one on a better note. I mean, wow.
Well, you could have if they would have won.
Well, the Ravens would have. You're right. But I'm just saying, from a football fan standpoint,
sure,
without rooting interest in the teams,
sure,
unveiling Las Vegas, you know, the NFL on both the primetime game Sunday night, Monday night, unveiling their two newest stadiums, SoFi Stadium in L.A. where the Super Bowl is, and then, of course, the Legion Stadium in Vegas. And from all the Ravens fans that I know that made the trip, they said it was an incredible experience. The stadium is top-notch, state-of-the-art, awesome. So they said apart from the end of the game, they had a blast. And, I mean, it's Las Vegas. Can you really have a bad time in Vegas? And, I mean, the Ravens can somewhat ruin that by not winning the game. But, wow, what a showcase. But disappointing, man. I mean, where do you start? I start with, dude, you had to feel great. You know, we were sitting there. Ravens are 14-0. You look at each other like, all right, they're going to blow them out of the building. And then the rest of the game was just trading blows. And, yeah, hand it to the Ravens. They never trailed until they did trail when they lost the game. It was always either Ravens leading or it was a tied game. But, you know, taking through the emotions of a 14-0 lead, when I saw the stat after the game, I was floored. The Ravens were 81-0 under John Harbaugh era in regular season when they had a 14-point lead. That's no more. When you're up 14 points, you got to win the football game. I don't care. I mean, I've seen this team blown 14-point leads plus in the playoffs. Once to the Steelers, and I saw it twice in one game when I was in New England. Saw it in my own eyes. It happened. Ravens were up 14-0 and 28-14 and lost that game. Ridiculous fashion. I've seen some heartbreak in the playoffs, but regular season, man, you're up 14-0. You had to feel great. I mean, you know, Tyson Williams gets his first amazing career touchdown on that run, on 4th-and-1. Ravens go down the field, throw Lamar, you know, could have ran for the first down. He was patient, found Marquise Brown at the back of the end zone. Ravens are up 14-0. You got a feeling great and pleased. And then just as the game progressed, the Raiders just chipped away at the Ravens and were pretty much balling it on cylinders. I mean, the Ravens from that point forward went completely backwards and came undone. It was just atrocious all around, man.
So I was trying to think of how to phrase what we were going to talk about today. And I think the thing that most got me about this game was I'm not surprised about any of this, because I was really hoping that there was going to be that one player that was maybe drafted this year, or that one player that really was going to stand out. And everything was kind of par for the course for the Ravens. Lamar did what he had to do. He did great. You know, he kind of put the team on his shoulders, the offense on his shoulders, and he was able to get things done. But when you're a one-man show, you're going to make mistakes like he did with those two fumbles. The offensive line, I was really hoping somebody was going to step up and really show off, and Ronnie Stanley didn't have a great game. Tyson Williams came out. He looked great. He had a touchdown. So it was kind of like the things that I knew could work did. The things that I was worried about, I'm still worried about. The defense is the exact same thing. I'm not surprised of who's really playing well. You know, Marlon Humphrey did really well.
Queen were balling all night, both of them.
Although Patrick Queen, don't throw punches at the end of plays to get flags.
Yeah.
That's really dumb. Tavon Young, welcome back. He looked great. But no defensive player, maybe Owe could be something down the road, but nobody blew me away this game. So I am worried going forward of what this team can do, but given all of the injuries that they've had on offense with the running backs, all the question marks there, all the defense injuries as well with Marcus Peters going down, the team played as well as I thought they could have played. I don't know if this is a team that can go far after that one regular season game, but they hung in there. They took the team to overtime. It was a loud building, a crowded, full, packed building, brand new in Las Vegas, against a very good Las Vegas team. We can't take that away from them. The Raiders stayed with the Ravens the whole time, but I think this whole season's going to be like this. It is going to be nail biters every single week. It is going to be hard fought victories. It is not, I don't see easy street at all this season. I think this game kind of showed these guys got to play 60 minutes or more to win a game. There is not going to be anything. Like you said, at halftime, 14 zip. I think that's going to be kind of rare going forward.
It is. And I listening to all your points, you know, just taking it through the scoring, you know, they're up 14. The Raiders come back, score 10 unanswered. Then the Ravens kick one. Raiders tie it with a touchdown. Ravens answer. And then Raiders tie it. Justin Tucker answers. Yeah, they're feeling great. Justin Tucker nails a field goal. 30-something seconds left in the game. Raiders have no timeouts. And then what do? Shred the defense, go right down the field and kick one on their own right at the last minute. It was interesting because it's always after the game and you find these little nuances of footage and like what it could have, should have. Saw footage today for the first time. Apparently, on that game-tying field goal, this forced overtime, Chuck Clark was livid. He was pointing, and you can see it. One of the Raiders on the right side moved and flinched. It could have been a false start on the Raiders. So, not saying that cost us the game, and I didn't know about it till today, 3 to 2 days later after the game. But my whole take on this is there's a lot to unpack. As I said before, where do I start? I'm going to start here. It was concerning, and you're saying, like, this is, might be the product that we get right because of all the injuries and the personnel on the field. I'm going to take a step further in that. As much as I was worried about all three of the roster's running backs on the depth chart going down within a two-week span, right, and they basically the whole running back room is reshaped, I'm actually not as concerned as I was with the Marcus Peters injury. And maybe one player versus three players, you wouldn't think it makes a difference. I think it does, and here's why. If Marcus Peters was healthy, you have Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey on either side of that ball. We already know Jimmy Smith didn't play. So you're stuck with Anthony Ever. You're already thin at corner now. So now you look at it, you're down two. That's what I was concerned and really scared about going into the game. It has been said, and I heard this, it was an interesting stat, and I don't know the exact numbers, had to go back and research it, but I'll be in the neighborhood. It was said prior to the trade, they said the Ravens were averaging, giving up almost 270 yards or something of that nature per game in the passing game. So after the Marcus Peters trade, the Ravens were down less than 200. It was like 180 or something like that, right, in the neighborhood of that. So, and to see, and the furthermore to see, and I say I'm not trying to say I'm right or anything, but just seeing what I saw Monday night, this is the pattern. Both running backs, Tyson Williams getting elevated, and Latavius Murray pretty much getting signed within days of the game. Le'Veon Bell was inactive, but was on the sideline in street clothes. You expect him to be elevated here soon, I'm sure. But both Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray scored touchdowns for the Ravens. Of the 27 points, they accounted for 14 of them, or really much 12 if you want to be technical. Two touchdowns. The secondary got torched, but it wasn't even all that. It was a combination of the offensive line was atrocious too. I mean, if we're going to go down the grades just on offense, I mean, obviously, I think quarterback gets an F, big failure. Two fumbles lead to turnovers, 14 points on the other side. You can't put the ball on the ground. Got to hold on to it. You know, just fall flat. If you know you're going to get sacked, I know it's easier said than done. We're not NFL quarterbacks getting pressured. You know, running backs get a B. Obviously, they stepped up and scored. Line gets an F. Absolute atrocious. The pass blocking is not there. Obviously, we understand the run blocking is a little bit because, you know, Tyson Williams had a showing, you know, and Latavius Murray had a nice touchdown run as well. Tight end was non-existent. Where was Mark Andrews? I mean, the other tight end, Darren Waller, it's probably why his name's Waller Baller or Baller Waller. I mean, my goodness, hard to get 19 times. And obviously it was his birthday. Good for him, right? But and another great story with his abuse and substance abuse and getting over that. Former Raven, of course. But we knew they were going to Waller. But what I saw – breaking down the game yesterday after I kind of had to sleep on it and all that, I felt like the Raiders adjusted and the Ravens didn't. Because if you notice in the first half, they were going to Waller the whole time. None of the receivers made a difference. What happened in the second half in overtime? Oh, Henry Ruggs makes an appearance. Oh, there's Hunter Renfro. There's all these players. I don't even know who number seven is on the Raiders who caught the game winner. I'm like, I had to go look on the roster, and I still can't remember his name. That's how relevant. Like I'm saying, like they went away from what they were doing. It wasn't working, and they were like, let's spread it around. And then you allow Derek Carr to get his fourth 400-yard game in his career. That's embarrassing, dude. I mean, the offensive line and the secondary are highly concerning for me over the running back situation. Dire. Saw video. Villanueva was getting his butt chewed all night long. Beat.
Yeah.
Time after time after time, snap after snap, can't work. Here's the stats that are mind-blowing. Lamar Jackson ended up being pressured on 54.5 of his dropbacks as opposed to Derek Carr's 20.3. Again, can't pass protect, but we can't get to the quarterback. Again, it could credit the offensive line for the Raiders because it's a two-way street. You know, it could be our pass rush is bad, but it could be also their offensive line is good. Who knows? But to allow well over double the pressures than the other opposing quarterback, that's why. They were supposed to have the better offensive line. And on paper, right, we were excited about this line. And now I'm like, cut Villanueva. I'm not a fan. Hate the guy's guts now. I mean, it's just like, wow. Like, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of frustration in the air on it. Just got to do better. And the first fumble on Lamar, you can't have them both, right? But the first fumble, he was running to gain yards and then fumbled the ball on the tackle. The second one was due to that pressure. And that was the drive in overtime where the Ravens got the ball back miraculously on that interception. And he was just pressured and, you know, Nassib came around the corner and boom, ball was out, game over. You can't put the ball on the ground, man. And he was trying way too much because I think the rest of the team was doing way too little to help. Supporting cast did not help at all. So the effort, it's got to be better. Highly concerning more so than the Chiefs come to town on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the crowd's going to be energized. It's the Ravens' first home game that the crowd can be there since the Titans lost. So I know everybody's going to be energized and energized so to finally beat this team. But after we saw the concerns against the Raiders, what do you think Mahomes is going to do? If Derek Carr and Darren Waller's connections were special that night, Kelce and Mahomes, you know, forget Tyreek Hill and his another junk miracle throw it up long bomb play against the Browns on Sunday, but that we've seen that before. I'm highly concerned. I mean, it's almost like I'm not even excited for this game because the game looming now after that performance scares the crap out of me. Like I really think they're going to get run out of the gym by halftime again. Like nothing tells me, nothing screams confidence in this Ravens team right now where I'm like, they can go out and beat the Joker, not Chiefs, who are pretty much the new Patriots now. I mean, it's you got to beat them.
There's a good chance come Monday morning that the Ravens are 0-2 and they are in last place in the AFC North.
Steelers could be 2-0 because the Steelers and the Raiders link up on Sunday, but also right. The Bengals get the Texans, I believe. I think.
And Tyrod gave
they won too.
A great showing, yeah.
But Jamar Chase and the Bengals, man, they had a showing. Dude, look out! You're right. There could be a Monday morning now, less than a week from now, that the Ravens wake up and are two games behind.
That is very true. And to be honest, I mean, I don't want to give away the end of the show here, but I see that happening. I do not see the Ravens coming away with a win against the Chiefs. I want to be wrong so badly, but Lamar,
especially
said it,
a team that you haven't beat three times in your career.
Lamar said it himself. They're our kryptonite. And if a healthy offense said that last year, a banged up offense with no running backs is going to say that even more now up against the Chiefs. And remember, we gave them Orlando Brown Jr. That offensive line around Patrick Mahomes is 100% different than it was last year. They have gotten better. He is going to be protected. And there's nobody that's going to be pressuring Mahomes for the Ravens. You have Brandon Williams and the rest of the defensive line who really didn't make any sort of impact. Like you said, Patrick Queen was good. We saw Houston as well, and you know that's going to be a big story for him going forward in this game. But it's this defense is not the Ravens of old. it did not strike fear in the hearts of the Raiders at all. I don't see them doing that to the Chiefs. And this isn't new. Last year, you remember, we had, you know, the Titans stomping on the logo or standing on the logo at the beginning of the game, and no one answered back during that regular season game. So this is not the defense that everyone was scared of. It's a banged up defense, and it just showed it can't play 60 minutes out on the field because they didn't do it this past Monday. And it's a shortened week. Think about that, too. There is not going to be as many practices. They're coming back from a long flight from Monday night. We already know Ronnie Stanley and Hollywood Brown did not practice on Wednesday. So this is a banged up team, and it's only week two against Patrick Mahomes, and everybody practiced on Wednesday for the Chiefs. So they are healthy and good to go. You know, the last time these guys met on that Monday night game, Patrick Mahomes was having a good time making the Ravens look bad. I think he's going to have an even better night on Sunday.
Exactly, man. And something I wanted to point out too, with the team and all that gelling, Brian Baldinger, obviously, you know who he is, NFL, fame, and he breaks a lot of the games down. He was on record. He went and showed some of the plays with Lamar getting pressure and all that. Here's what he said. I want to get your perspective. He says September. Well, he says, Ravens are a work in progress. Going to take some time and get better timing. September might be the new August for the Ravens. I actually said this on the way home talking. I said, in trying to get my notes, and I came home and I wrote some things down. This is where I think that the Ravens, or not even that, but the NFL, but I just focus on the Ravens. This is where I think starters really need to be playing in the preseason. And what I mean by that is they have three games now. So I think starters should play first quarter, preseason game number one, maybe a quarter and a half to two quarters season, preseason number two, maybe two to three quarters in game number three. Because I saw an offensive line that hasn't played each other for the first time, right, and that's the problem. So it's like with all the injuries and practice going down, it happened to the Cowboys today with their defensive star practice. There's players getting hurt in practice. We just had Marcus Peters and Justice Hill go down and Gus Edwards practice. So forget the narrative playing your stars in preseason because it doesn't matter now. That narrative squashed due to the injury. So get off your horse. I feel like the Ravens and pretty much the NFL, they should be playing starters in the preseason because this is what the product you're getting. You're getting sloppy football because this team hasn't played with each other. More offensively than defensively, but for the team as a whole, it's something I really want to see more of. Interesting perspective going back to the pressures. Marcus Wiley, they're on that show Speak for Yourself, he went on record and actually pointed out something that was very interesting, speaking of and breaking down the Chiefs-Ravens matchup. We know how great the Chiefs are. We know how great Mahomes is. We know how great their players are, Kelce and company, right? Mahomes is coming off a year where he had his worst game, regular postseason as a professional, Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers flat out embarrassed him. He was pressured all night. They scored 9 points. Marcus Wiley went on record to saying, as much as the Ravens quarterback, Lamar Jackson, was pressured, it was 54.5% on his dropbacks. He scored 27 points running for his life. Not to say he's better than Mahomes, but just puts in perspective that he feels like the Ravens are going to be okay. They got a lot to address, but he's like, the Ravens offensively put up 27 points and your quarterback was running for his life half the snaps. So if they get that under control, what can he do? Not saying that's kind of like, oh, it's going to be okay, guys, but I'm just putting the kind of the other side, like I always do, like to get you thinking and putting in the other side of the other side of the coin there and make you think a little bit, saying, all right, yeah. Because I mean, it ain't like look, I think it would have been far worse if the Ravens got embarrassed like the Green Bay Packers did and got waxed 38-3, and you're benching Lamar in the fourth quarter like they did former MVP Aaron Rodgers or reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that if we were a Packers podcast breaking that game down, it would be far worse firing Brimstone. I mean, the Ravens took them to the brink. The Ravens were up 14. I felt like the Ravens pretty much let the game go. They did a lot. They did a lot right quickly, but then did a lot more wrong on the longevity of the game, and it ended up being their demise. And there's a lot to work on, and every team has a lot to work on. All the teams that won this weekend, they're not perfect. I mean, the Chiefs were down 22-10. The Browns couldn't close the game out, and they came back and won, you know, putting it in perspective. So I just feel like, look, if this was a Packers game like that, I can see the room for concern. I'm just trying to find some good news, if any, to pick apart and maybe move forward. But this weekend's game looks bleak, and especially like you said, they're their kryptonite. They're 0-3 after coming off this performance on a short week. You play Monday night, West Coast. You got to come back. Granted, it is a sunny night game. It's at home, but you got to look your wounds prepare. But it's going to be dire straits, man. This Chiefs team is going to give them all kinds of fits. We know what they're about. I mean, we know who their personnel is. Everything's got to get better. I mean, Mark Andrews has to get involved. I feel like the offense goes through him. I mean, you know, Marquise Brown stepped up. I mean, obviously caught a touchdown. His debut was okay. But the other receivers are non-existent.
Well, Sammy Watkins looked good.
Yes. I was going to say Sammy Watkins. You're right. Yeah, sorry. Can't forget that Sammy Watkins catch, that long pass, man. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so Watkins made an impact. And pretty much Watkins and Brown, that's it. You know, and then the running backs made an impact. But other than that, Mark Andrews was never heard of. You didn't hear Duvernay's name. No one else got involved. I think Mark Andrews had 5 catches all night.
Here's the thing about that, too. You got to think about this. Lamar, he was running the ball. Yes, he did fumble twice. He was throwing the ball, doing everything that he can. He's got to do this 17 times this year. Is that sustainable to be able to get enough wins to get into the postseason?
Not playing like that with that offensive line, him running for his life, he might even get hurt again.
Exactly.
I was waiting for him to get concussed because they were just winning his wheelhouse.
That's what I'm worried about because, yes, they were able to fight through this one and get it to OT, but to do that 17 times this year, I don't know if this team is built for that.
They're not built for it, and something else that concerns me is Greg Roman went again away from what works.
Yeah.
He was feeding Tyson Williams the ball, and just when he was getting cooking, he gets 2 carries the rest of the game. Like, what's that about? We've seen that before. Didn't they run it down? I think it was a Chiefs game. They ran it down their throat, scored a touchdown out of the gate, and then they decided to throw it the rest of the game. I'm like, what are you doing? Dude, Greg Roman's frustrating me, and my patience wearing thin, dude. You can sense it. I'm just not happy with that. Feed these players. Feed them the ball. You know, there's no superstars on this team. If Tyson Williams is balling out, give it to him. He should have had well over 100 yards rushing, probably never another score. But giving it to him, man, great run. Glad to see him get touchdown. He gets the game ball, in my opinion, if there's anything to give out, because the dude was he stepped up in the starter role in a big way and put the Ravens first on the board on Monday Night Football, the first points of the season for the Ravens. So I got to give it to him. We'll see what happens, but obviously the better quarterback on the field was Derek Carr, not Lamar Jackson. Obviously the better team won. And turnover battle, obviously, it was like even. The total yards were even. The time possession was even. The penalties were even, about even. It just was those 2 turnovers. You know, the Ravens lost the turnover battle and often lost the game. You put the ball on the ground, and they literally led straight to 14 straight points for them, and or obviously 13, technically. But anyway, yeah, this Chiefs game, dude, dire.
Yeah.
Obviously, we understand where we're going. It's a big fat L. It's looming for the Ravens, and until they prove otherwise for real, I'm not a believer.
So are we gonna should we just start talking about the draft at this point? After week 1?
Hey man, don't give up hope, man. It's still a 2021 season to be had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just frustrates you because again, you know, going through camp, going through the signings, you had high hopes. Again, you wanted to like the offensive line, you wanted to like what was happening with the team, and just seeing a performance like that, now you're kind of like, what do we do? Got to go back to the drawing board. Can they sustain it? Like, there's all these questions now, you know, but I guess another positive, again, the Ravens never trailed in the game. It looked like they weren't playing from behind. They basically played to lose the game, which is basically equivalent almost, but you know, they haven't been in that position. And you bet it's going to happen on Sunday. They're going to get down and watch the game plan trash change dramatically. But I mean, again, they never trailed until it was the end result. So
they always looked good. They never looked great. I think that's the big thing.
They did enough good things that basically could have won the game, but they did way too much to give it away. And that's what they did. They gave it right away. They didn't do it. And what killed them was the big 3rd and 10 conversion. It was 3rd and 10. The Raiders were barely in field goal range. And Derek Carr threw that rainbow pass to Henry Ruggs to get him on, like, what, the 5-yard line. And then that's when Josh Jacobs ran in there. I think that was the Darren Waller touchdown. I can't remember, but it was one of the 2. And again, like 3rd and 10, you know, you got to bring it. You got to get them off the field at that point. And, you know, that's a big focal point of the Ravens defense. 3rd down conversions, you got to get them off the field no matter where they're at.
Yeah, we should bring up the Ravens released Trenton Cannon, put him out on waivers, and the 49ers have claimed him as well.
That is correct, which is fitting because the Niners have their own issues. Raheem Mostert, their starter, got banged up this weekend, and now he's out for a year. So he's doing a surgery.
Yeah, and we know Tyree Phillips, he is going to be on injury reserve, so he's the starting left guard, and that went to Ben Powers after that. But potentially in this next game, maybe we do see Big Country Ben Cleveland step up. He was a healthy scratch on Monday, which I was a little surprised about, but potentially we may be seeing him for the first time this year as well.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, again, I was surprised to see Jimmy Smith inactive, and as soon as that came out, people were blowing me up. They're like, Jimmy Smith's inactive. Oh boy. Like, yeah, that's dire because we're already down one. We don't need two.
And
he's got to get healthy quickly.
Derek Wolfe did not play this game. He was out and he has not practiced this week or last week.
Yeah,
so,
he's not playing for a while. I'm going to be surprised if they shelf him.
Yeah. So he might be going on injury reserve as well. So, but I mean, that's kind of his thing. So, all right, Josh, I mean, this feels like a little bit of a short show, and that's okay, but have we covered everything for this episode?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, you know, we know what the Chiefs bring. I'm not going to discredit by previewing that game. I mean, we know who they are. It's Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, the running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their offense. And obviously, again, we get it. It's former Chief Sammy Watkins on his new team now. So you can kind of meet, you know, everybody always puts that revenge game, you know, like, oh, it's the former player against the former team. He won a Super Bowl. You know, it's like, okay, you know, you can add that in there for flavor if you want in their defense. There's really much not to break down. We know they're kryptonite, as we stated many times in the show. Ravens got to do way better to win the game. They basically got to right every wrong that they just did. Got to win a turnover battle. Can't turn over against the Chiefs. And I feel like what the Browns did, they got out on, if you follow the Browns blueprint, I watched that Browns game on Sunday afternoon. Right. The Browns got out, 8-0. They went for two. And I love that. You know why? Because it's going to take every point to beat these guys. But the Browns didn't finish the game. They were up 22-10 and couldn't make the plays. Baker Mayfield was stellar the whole game. And then the Browns just kind of hit a wall, just like the Ravens. It was like Ravens are 14-0. And then you're like, all right, we're balling. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the Ravens were up 14 against the Raiders. The Browns were up 12 against the Chiefs, and they both lost the games. Both lost leads, and they're both 0-1. So, basically, it's what I said. The game plan is simple and easy. Game, right every wrong and score a lot because you know the Chiefs are going to score on almost every possession. That's pretty much it. I mean, it's bread and butter. It's cut and dry. It's probably the simplest game plan of all, keys of the game. But, yeah, offensive line's got to play better up and down the board. Mark Andrews has to get involved. Running backs got to keep doing what they're doing. Blind's got to do way better and not create these holes and look like a sieve. And the defense, don't give up 400 passing yards on Mahomes or 500 or 600. It's going to be embarrassing, but still going to be fun. You know, fans back. My first home game, I get to sit in my seat since then. I mean, I sat in them in the preseason game, but didn't count. But this is the first official one, so I'm excited. It's, you know, it's been almost 2 years since I've sat in their seats. And for an actual game, it's Sunday Night Football. We're in the spotlight again, week number two in a row. So, it's going to be awesome. So we got to wait all day for Sunday night is what the song says, and Carrie sings it. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to get down to tailgate and see all the fans. I'm looking forward to it. My dad's going with me to the game. It's going to be fantastic. You know, win or lose, it's what I'm about. I enjoy the atmosphere and enjoying my time. I always hope for Ravens win. But, again, we don't see it here on the call. Let's see what happens. But it's looking grim, man.
You know, Carrie Underwood might be the highlight of that broadcast.
Hey, I'll cheers to that.
All right, Josh. So, I mean, we got to say the tagline. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
And that's right. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And if we ever figure out what's going on with Apple, we will let you know on there as well. But until then, we're just kind of steady as we go, I guess.
What gets fixed first, the Ravens issues or Apple?
Apple doesn't
Let's put some odds out there.
They don't like the podcast app anyway. So if I have to be the one to tell you guys, find
but
a better
podcasting is the new radio. Get with it.
Find a better app than the Apple podcast app because it's terrible. But I like overcast. I've said that before, but anyway,
we like saying overcast.
That's right. We like that too. All right, guys. Well, if you let's see what else I got to say here. So write us an Apple Podcast review. Write a review for the podcast app and tell them that they suck. But write us a good review. Give us 5 stars and be social with the show. It's facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. And then you go on your own social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, Snapchat, Twitch, or TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Unfortunately, Josh and I both agree that this is probably going to be a big L. But Josh, take us out the way you always do. Maybe you can inspire this team. Maybe you can get them to fight a little bit harder on Sunday night under the lights at the bank. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Take us out the way you always do.
Love the enthusiasm, Brandon. Can I spark some fire in this team? I know I'm no Ray Lewis, guys, and don't try to be. You can't.
That's what they're missing, man. That's what they're missing.
They need that motivation, man. But I think it could be a factor is with the Ravens being introduced and it's Sunday night, and we know the Rockstar entrances with the spotlights and the lights out, and it's blackout and people getting in the stands early. You know, and I'm unveiling my newest gear.
Post pictures of that.
I will. I'm going to see how it goes. I didn't unveil it on Monday night because, again, I wanted to – our first 2 home games are prime time, so I believe what the schedule shows, so which is awesome. So I can't wait to unveil that. And for all those who don't know, you will know. I'm not giving away any secrets, but I'm going to change it up a little bit and see how it is. I got inspired by something I saw online, and I'm gonna semi-tweak my game day attire. To be up in the perks as we caught up in the upper level. But again, getting back to that, I mean, I think, you know, the crowd's going to inspire. And the Ravens, they're going to be pumped up because they're back home. They're back where they know. They're in front of the flock. It's going to be rocking. And again, you know, we got to be loud. I heard nothing but rave reviews about Allegiant Stadium. I know it's enclosed versus M&T open air, but M&T can still rock and get loud. But how loud that place was. A lot of Raven fans were like, yeah, it was loud. Like, yeah, really loud. And you can hear it on the TV. I mean, we heard it on the speakers. They were roaring. So we got to be just as equally loud, if not better, when a Mahomes is under center and really make them go crazy. That's what it comes about. You know, I'm going to leave it to the fans to inspire the passion. Not to say the players don't have any, but they need to play better. We need them to execute better and clean up the mistakes. It's okay to lose a football game if you play clean. If you had to play a hard-fought game, if you take the Chiefs down the wire and Lamar doesn't turn the ball over and he throws 3 or 4 touchdowns and Mahomes throws 3 or 4 touchdowns, it comes down to one play and somebody made it, we're going to break this game down and go, great, that's it. But the Ravens cannot give it to them. They can't shoot themselves in the foot. They just can't. They can't do those mistakes that football teams do to really lose games. And they, like I said, very simply, let's right the wrongs from Monday night, bring them into Sunday night, and let's put our best foot forward. We got this. It's going to be a tough, hard fought, as me and Brandon broke down. AL's looming. Who knows? Don't see it. Kryptonite. Do the Ravens have enough to counter that kryptonite and overcome? We shall see. Can they get that first elusive win against Mahomes and the Chiefs under Lamar's regime? Stay tuned. We shall see if the Ravens can be 1-1 or in a dire 0-2 position in the AFC North. Everybody, Sunday Night Football, are you with me? We're back home. Baltimore Ravens against the Chiefs. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.